Open your Bibles, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Then we're going to be parked in Titus chapter 3.
Amen.
1 Corinthians chapter 12.
I'm sorry,
Titus chapter 3. We've got I'd like to talk about church membership today. It's one of those things that is God's will. That would be the main subject. But bless God that every born-again believer is already a part of the body of Christ. Amen? No matter where you go.
There you are.
I had that one coming. Thanks, Steve. You really got me there. That's a good one. I don't know how I'm ever going to get back at you, but I'll be working on it.
You will.
That was rich. You go, boy. But wherever you go in life, there's always a believer. I went to Tennessee. I took this trip and I found a church out there. No, it actually was in Florida, and I found a church over there, and I got to talking to a guy. It's like we've been known each other forever, you know. It's just off the bat, you know. It's amazing. And that's one of the glorious advantages that we have as believers. We're here, we speak the same language, and it's just by the Spirit of God, it's just a glorious experience every time it happens, you know. And so let's pray before I continue. Father, I need your help to preach your word. And we all need your help, Lord, to not only know what your will is, but Father, we need your help that we might obey you and bring a smile to your face. So to that end, I pray that you'll help us, help me, dear God, to articulate that which needs to be known and that which sometimes we just forget. And Lord, I want to appreciate the fact that you know everything to perfection. And I just pray that you'll continue to guide us. You are the good shepherd, and we appreciate your guidance in the light of our word. In Jesus' name and to your glory, I pray. Amen and amen. It says there, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27, now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. Amen? And so obviously, this is said to people that are saved. If you're saved because God gave you biblical faith, amen? If you're saved, God gave you a conviction. God gave you repentance. If you're saved, God gave you everything that you needed to be saved. Amen? And you called out to Jesus, right? That's what I did back in the day. I called out to Christ. I never understood his love until somebody shared it with me scripturally. And I was overwhelmed by the beauty of his love, his unconditional love. And I said, Jesus, if you're really there, if you're willing to save me, I'll accept you the best way I can. And the change has been forever. And if you're here today, I believe it's because you too, by the same Spirit of God, has instructed you to do so, right? So let me just share with you quickly, as I get into the subject matter, what is salvation? I think we need to really understand the nuts and bolts, and I think Titus chapter 3, it really gets, it kind of concentrates to actually how God does what he does. By way in which we now become part of the universal body of Christ, if you will, the mystical body of Christ. And so are you there, Titus? All right. I know that Steve is, because you know about Steve. No matter where he goes, there he is. So. Oh, that came out pretty good, right? That's almost there. Right? I got it. Okay, good. Says there in verse 4, Titus chapter 3, verse 4, but after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. Now, if I could just call your attention to the fact that if salvation is totally based on God's activity, mm-hmm. it's totally based on God's provision, mm-hmm. it's totally based on our need of a loving, forgiving Savior. And he provides all of it. You have no investment in salvation. This church has cannot save you. There's not a religion on the planet that can save you, but there's a God that has done everything to save you. Whatever is sufficient. Amen? So it starts up, but after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. That is his initiative. And then in verse 5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done. Why? Because man intrinsically believes that he's got something that can appease the wrath of God by their activity. Your coming to church is not doing God a favor. Mm-hmm. Amen? Amen? Now, I appreciate people's faithfulness. I hope you don't misunderstand me. But I'm here because I need to be here.
That's it. Amen.
I'm here because I need to obey God. I'm here because if I don't obey God, it is anarchy, and it is tragic, and it's chaotic. Look at the world that you live in, and that's because nobody takes a moment to see what God wants out of their life. And therefore, God wants me to save me from myself. And he's got some instructions because he's a loving God.
Hallelujah.
And he's got my best interest in heart. And if in some way I can glorify him, I guarantee you I got the best benefit. God is on his throne. He needs nothing.
That's it.
Amen. I think he's pretty comfortable, to say the least. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy. Now, mercy, the way I understand it, is God not giving me what I deserve. Right? I am born a sinner. And therefore, when we sin, there are consequences. But his mercy says, Jose, you deserve my judgment and my punishment. But Jesus said, here am I, send me. And Jesus took my punishment. He took my suffering. In fact, the Bible says he descended to the lowest parts of the earth. I believe that Jesus actually suffered my hell for me. And then he rose again the third day on my behalf. Amen. And because of his resurrection, because of the penalty that he paid in my place, I too live with the hope of a resurrection.
Amen.
In a different body, just like when Jesus resurrected, they touched him and they put their hands in his sides and there's no more blood. He resurrected in the glorified body, and that promises to every believer. Again, that's all his initiative for salvation. Is a free gift.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
And what a glorious thing it is to live with that hope. And it's not a hope based on stuff put in the Bible. It's not just the Bible says it and it's got to be true. The Bible says it and the Spirit of God in me confirms the fact.
That's it.
So you don't have to believe me, but you can believe the Holy Spirit. The author and the finisher. Amen? God inspired the Bible. God has preserved the Bible. And anybody that has read it, you know, man, no man could actually write all this and have it. Such synergy from Genesis to Revelation, written by so many different guys, and how is it that they can all agree? And how is it that this book could withstand the time? Folks, if you read the Bible, you're going to know that God is its author. He inspired it, and he has kept it alive. To God be the glory. Amen?
Amen.
So I know it to be true because the Spirit of God has led us by his guidance. It's amazing how his love appeared a day in history in the person of Jesus Christ. Verse 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. Now this is what I like about the details here. By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Isn't that cool? By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And that reality is the experience of anybody that is born of God. Amen.
Amen.
I know I'm not the same man I was. Now, one day, there's still some work to do, so I run the race with patience. But verse 6 says, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. There is an abundance. Ryan and I were talking about, and I can look Ryan in the eye and tell him, brother, I love you. That's because it's an abundance of God's presence in my life where I don't have to worry about anybody what they think. I can tell, hey, Brian, I love you, son. And I love him as my son. You see that cute little baby that walking around? I thank Brian for that. Mm-hmm. It's not rocket science, but it's, you know, it's all cool. I never anticipated great grandkids. It's an amazing thing. And in other words, there's such an abundance of God's love in our midst that you know it's supernatural. The world really can't. We were at George's and Nani's home yesterday. He's a great cook, and we were there. They invited us for dinner, and we got into this discussion about how different things are. Before you got saved, do you dare say what you did for recreation, brother?
Nothing good.
We don't even get into details, right? But here we are, the four of us, sitting down, having a dinner, brother, and it was so enjoyable. You know what I mean? And you guys are here today, listening to this boring preacher, and you're enduring it. How is that? Because the abundance of God's love. That's what gets us through it all, man. Right? There's an abundance of God, and God is love. And that's enough. That's enough. Why do you go to church, Pastor? Because God says to go. That's enough. And it's really, you know what I like about God? His instructions are simple. And it does decomplicate things. Is that a good word? I'll use it. I'll make it up. My wife be embarrassed, but I don't care. But anyways, my life was very complicated before I got saved. And I love being with a family that knows God and that can say amen. Because the truth, God's truth, is apparent to anyone that is honest about truth.
Amen.
This is an awesome family, folks. Church is not Wegmans or McDonald's or Tops. Church is family. Family. And we are connected for all of eternity. Bad, good, and indifferent, you are my family. And I love you because the love of Christ is in me to do this so. Right? Now, my grandkids, I tell them every now and then that I was born to make their lives miserable, and here, my granddaughter's here. With my great-grandbaby. I mean, it's talk about grace. It's an amazing thing.
Amazing thing to hear.
Amen. And then it continues on, verse 6. Which he said about on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Folks, not only, it's not just an heir of living forever. When you see the details related to God's kingdom, just read through the book of Revelation, and as it gives you a description of the New Jerusalem. Amen. Do you know that the New Jerusalem is literally going to come down from the third heaven?
Mm-hmm.
You realize there's three heavens. There's a heaven, your atmosphere, there's a heaven, the universe, and then there's a third heaven where God abides. And the New Jerusalem is going to come from there. And there's going to be a mansion made without hands.
Mm-hmm.
And Judy's going to have a spot over there in that place. And I'm not going to clean your mansion. Hello. Did somebody else. You follow what I'm saying? But folks, that is what we're promised, and we're anticipating a new body. And it doesn't matter how many great grandkids we have, brother. We're going to get a new body, and our hair's going to come back. It's going to be black again. Then the barber, then they can charge us what they have.
No, that's right.
I told Jose Alvarez, he's my barber, I said, you ought to tip me. There's a lot less to cut, you know. So, but folks, those are real promises. And we know it by the presence of the Spirit of God. And by the way, this whole conflict with Israel, I hope you're listening to your prophecy scripturally.
Yeah.
The big players there too are China. The big players there are Russia. And of course, the children of Hagar, the Arab nations, that's all prophecy, folks.
Yeah.
Be paying attention. We live in some very, very interesting times.
This is true.
But the beauty of reading your Bible, you can predict these things, and they're happening. A lot of this stuff is happening in your day. It's just stuff. It's quite a book, to say the least. But we're the church. We're the family. We're eternal. And we've been bought with the blood of God, the Bible says. And therefore, it's not by works of righteousness which we have done. Amen. Now, if you look at verse 4, but after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, now look at verse 6, which he shed up on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. So, you see how the Father and the Son, and then you have here where the Holy Ghost is also mentioned in verse 5. That's the entire Trinity. Mm-hmm. Father in verse 4, the Holy Ghost in verse 5, Jesus Christ in verse 6. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Amen. The whole Trinity was in. That's why you get baptized in the name of the Father and the Son. Why? Because they're all involved in your salvation. Isn't that cool? Mm-hmm. But that's what puts us in the body of Christ. That weighs pretty heavily. Amen? Amen. At least God thinks it's pretty important. Now the Bible says in John chapter 1 verse 12, for as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Amen? If you receive Jesus, God has authorized you by his power to be an eternal child of God. That's what puts us in the mystical body of Christ. No matter where you go, careful, brother, no matter where you go, you'll find a brother or a sister in Christ.
Amen.
Someplace around the world. Amen. And that's the beauty. And the Bible says, now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
So this work that God does in our hearts, by which we now receive him as Lord and Savior, we need to decide to where we're going to be a member as it relates to a local church.
Mm-hmm.
As gifted as Brother Steve Jekwick is, he can't occupy all space all the time. So he is a member of the Bible Baptist Temple. Poor Steve. But anyways, the fact of the matter is, I want to talk about church membership. We cannot just flow around, just going from church to church. Somewhere you need to establish yourself and let it be known that God has moved you to be a member of a local church of believers. Amen? Because that is not my idea. That is God's idea. That's how he has established it. Amen? Throughout the New Testament, let me mention to you, there is the book of Romans was written to who? to believers in Rome. Amen? He wrote to the Corinthians, to believers in Corinth. He wrote to the members of in Galatia, the book of Galatians, Ephesus, Philippi, Colossae, Thessalonica, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, Laodicea. Every person had a church to belong to. Amen. And if you read them, they were not always doing well. Amen. But they were faithful in that they belonged to a local church body. Amen. So, I want to encourage you, if you have not determined and said, I am going to be a member of a particular, I encourage you to do so, because God expects you to establish and utilize your gifts and your talents and your abilities to help that local church. You cannot belong to every church in the state of New York. We all belong to the same body of Christ, no matter where you go. But God expects us to be loyal, just like Jesus is loyal to you. Amen. What do I mean? Well, the love of Christ is one that I can count on. Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And that promise is not when I'm good. That promise is when I'm not so good. Right? How did God love you? When you were good or when you were a sinner?
When we were a sinner, Christ died for us.
Absolutely. So how can you grow in the likeness of Jesus Christ?
By pursuing even more darkest times.
The design of God is that you would be conformed to the image of Christ. That is God's, that's his agenda. What does God want with me? Well, he wants me to be as much like Christ. And part of being like Christ means when that brother in the church is not as perfect as you are, when you get offended, you're going to still love that brother, because great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Amen? Well, I'm going to leave that church. The pastor looked at me cross-eyed. Well, maybe the guy's cross-eyed. You know what I mean? He's probably what does... Hey, listen. Isn't it God that says not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together as a man of God? I owe it to God to be obedient to him. Right? Don't we owe it to the Lord? So, I'm just saying... When Fanny and I, when we got saved back in 77, we didn't know where to go, what church to join. But we did travel around and we went to different churches, and but we did it prayerfully. I didn't want to congregate. I found that where two or three are gathered in his name, there he's in our midst, and I decided that me, Fanny, and the kids, we would have church in our kitchen. But then I came across the Hebrews chapter 10, 24, 25, and I'm stuck again. Now God says I got to go congregate someplace. So I said, well, God, I want to, if that's what you want me to do, I want to do it, right? He says it. So we spent 4 months going around different churches, hearing what the doctrines were, and... God confirmed our prayer. And I won't get into the details how that confirmation was, but I guarantee you it was a very powerful confirmation. When you pray about something and you mean it in your heart, God will absolutely resolve that. He will. And you know, as a church, we've been through everything. You know, if you've got human beings inside the church, there's going to be some issues. Amen? And if you have human beings in your home, there are going to be some issues at home, right? And so wherever there are human beings, there are going to be issues. But I am called to learn to love like Jesus. God saved me a sinner. A back sliding, I mean, I hated God, I hated Christians, I hated the Bible, I hated everything, and he saved me. So, because he didn't give up. And therefore, I have to learn to love the way God loves me. If it matters to me to be like him. Right? If it matters to me like be like Jesus, then great peace have they that love them all, and nothing shall offend them. Right? What did he cry from the cross? Forgive them, Father. He didn't take it personal. They don't know what they're doing.
Still don't.
And nothing has changed. And yet his hand is stretched out still to save anyone that would come to him. And therefore, I love you guys. I really do. I can honestly say I feel perfectly at ease to say I would give my life for my church, individually or collectively. But I have had to learn that. I've had to learn it. You understand? Things happen. People do things. They say things. They do. But you learn. If you want to be like Jesus, it's worth the investment. And you will never have to apologize for loving people unconditionally. That's the church. Mm-hmm. And I decided back in 1977, the Bible Baptist Temple is going to be my church. And I don't care what the pastor does. I don't care what the member does. I don't care what the deacon does. I don't care what anybody does. God died for the members of this church. And that's enough. I would encourage you to consider saying, I am going to make my membership here, for good or for bad. That's how God is, and that's how I want to learn to be. Amen. And by the way, for the most part, I think this is a pretty nice church. You know what I mean? Yeah. And just pray for the pastor. Hopefully I'll catch up. But I am under no illusion to think that we're perfect here. But we worship the perfect one. His name is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And he's going to get us there. He's going to get us there. But please, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. You cannot test love until you're tested. Right? You gotta allow yourself to be tested. And then you can say, you know what? I still love that brother. I still love that sister. Because the love of Christ in me is abundant to do it with. Amen. That's why we must be born again. Because we need the divine person of Jesus Christ to rule our hearts and to rule our minds, because that's usually where the battles are. Amen? Amen? So as God loves me unconditionally, I have learned to love God's people, and I'm not out of the woods yet. I have not reached perfection, but I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Amen? And if being like Jesus is God's main agenda, I think that is pretty awesome agenda. I don't think you could have a better agenda than to take Jose Rodriguez and make him look something a little bit like Jesus. You know what I mean? That's pretty awesome. So that is why we want to join a church where we can use our gifts, we can use our talents, we can use our time and help people. Help people within their imperfections and encourage them. Provoke them unto love and to good works. What a beautiful thing. I thank God that you guys took time out of your schedule and your agenda. You could have certainly decided to do something different today, and you decided to come to church. That must be that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords dwells in you. Amen? Mm-hmm. And has told you, go to church and listen to the old balding guy over there and do your church a favor. Amen? Bless God. Thank you, folks, for allowing me a few moments here. Let's go to Psalms 138. I want to share something with you that is a verse that's really dear to my heart. Psalms 138, verse 2. Psalms 138, verse 2. It's pretty awesome. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. What an amazing statement. This book is pretty important to God. Every argument that Jesus made always had a biblical basis to it. And therefore, this church has to be based on the scriptures and not on our emotions. We cannot base our church on our preferences. We need to base our lives, our homes, and our church on the Word of God. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Amen. That's why my life has greater clarity and greater simplicity. And how complicated can it be to get up in the morning and come to church? I can even do that. Look at me, I'm here. And these are the simple things, folks. Disobedience complicates. Simple obedience makes it very easy. But it makes it all the worthwhile. You know what's amazing? Your time here will be accounted for in heaven. Your investment to come to church this morning will be in God's records for all of eternity. Wow. Not a bad investment. Amen. Not a bad investment. You can't say that about your bank account. But you can say that about God's account in glory. Church membership is God's idea. And as a member here, I can grow in Christ. I can grow in His likeness. I can grow in His image because we keep each other accountable in a loving, respectful manner. Amen?
Amen.
I prepared this message and it spoke to me first. Because God's word does speak to us, doesn't it? But I would encourage you to make it known to someone that you want to be a permanent member of a local church body. Amen? Look for one. Prayerfully. Don't just make a decision emotionally, but make a decision guided by the Holy Ghost. And when that confirmation comes, I guarantee you, you will not be ambiguous about your decision. Amen? Let's pray, family. Thank you for your time. I trust that God has spoken to you. We are a church body. If you're saved, you belong to the universal church body. But God likes a simple order and an establishment. And I really would encourage you folks to ask God to direct you to what church you want to belong to, and He'll definitely direct you perfectly. He'll direct you perfectly. With heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here today and you would like to ask God for His direction on being a permanent member of this church or any other church, if you're just looking for guidance, I would love to pray. I remember I would ask people, other believers at the job, would you pray for us? We're looking for a church. Amen. Bless God. Amen. Would you pray for us? And you, folks, God answered that prayer. And no matter what we've been through, I knew that day was not in vain. That's what's kept me here for over 46 years. This is where God wants me to be. I know it. I'm secured by it. And you should have the same benefit of knowing exactly where God wants you to be. So anyone else here, Pastor Jose, would you pray for me that God would direct me to his church where he wants me to be and where I want to find myself when Jesus comes for us. Amen, one way or another. Anybody, here's with a raised uplifted hand. Amen. Praise the Lord. Anyone else that is looking for God's direction on where to establish yourself as a permanent member. God bless you. Anyone else? Anyone else? Amen.